Listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. So today, as always, I have the pleasure and privilege to talk with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hello to Taylor. Hey, how's it going today?
I'm great. How are you, Pam?
I'm good. I'm enjoying a nice, comfortable Sunday. Haven't gone out because it's way too hot out, and I'm just looking forward to our chat, and I'm so glad that you're a guest with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
Yes. So I am Taylor Owens, and I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, after kind of bouncing around the country. We've landed here. We love it. I am a real estate agent and a home stager, and I am also expecting a child in October, so soon that will be keeping me on my toes as well.
Oh, I'm sure. Is this your first child?
It is, yes. And we are expecting a little girl.
Oh, how exciting. Well, congratulations to you both.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So you're into real estate. How did you get involved in that? I mean, real estate involves quite a bit of talking.
A lot of it. So before I was in real estate, I was in, I spent some time in luxury home goods. So I would sell, and I was in some product development roles in fine home goods. So anything from furniture to bedding to artwork and basically anything in your home. From there, I went to a startup that made custom leather handbags. Mm. And then when I moved to Minneapolis, I left that and felt for the first time ever like we had really moved home. And that feeling of home here really kind of inspired the career change as well. And I ended up going through the exams, and now I'm a real estate agent, and there is a lot of speaking. There is also a lot of competition, so I would say that my stuttering has certainly helped me a little bit in standing out in all of that as well.
Oh, what do you mean, like standing out? Like people remember you because you're the one that stutters?
They remember me, I think, because I'm open with them. And when you are going through buying or selling your home, it's an emotional process. And oftentimes you don't want to be with a working with an agent who is all about them and who's all about, you know, speaking loud and largely and things like that. And as a real estate agent who stutters, I almost have to open up this sense of vulnerability right away and open up with my clients. And I think that they find that honest and interesting when they meet with me.
Has anybody ever had a problem with their real estate agent speaking differently?
You know, I haven't run into it, but you also, because there are so many agents out there, you really have the opportunity to connect with who you should be working with. So if I openly stutter at an open house and, you know, when I'm introducing myself, perhaps they realize then that they don't want to work with me. And that's okay. It's not for everybody either. And there are certainly a lot of us out there to pick from. So it just kind of depends on who they are and what they want and what their views are on speaking a little bit differently.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it sounds like you're like really comfortable in your skin. Has that always been the case with your stuttering?
Definitely not. has that always been the case? I am 33 years old now, and I will say that it wasn't until I was 30 years old, about 3 years ago, before I sort of stepped out of the covert stage. And every now and again, I find that I'm still there. But I have opened up a lot about my stuttering and come to most days accept the fact that I'm a person who stutters, and that's part of who I am. And since then, it has enhanced my life incredibly. But it did take me a long, long time to get there, I would say.
I can so totally relate with that, because it's really only been about 10 years myself that I stepped out of that same closet. I can just understand what you're saying, because when I finally decided that this is ridiculous, that, you know, I'm hiding my true self, it was so freeing and so empowering to just be myself and present myself to the world as I always wanted to, but always felt paralyzed about. So it sounds like we may have had, you know, some similar experiences.
It sounds like it. Yeah. And it's a hard closet to live in, because it's really restrictive on your life when you wonder every day what you could do if you didn't stutter.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Crazy. So did you, like, was there some pivotal moment when you were 30 that kind of helped you to step out of that closet?
So we had moved from Chicago to Minneapolis, and we moved for my husband's job, and I was unemployed. So I was interviewing and really assessing my skill set. And I found that I kept telling myself no because I stutter, no because I stutter. And it got to the point where I just felt like, that wasn't who I wanted to be. That wasn't who I saw myself as, was a person who was restricted in all aspects of life, whether it be career, relationships, whatever was happening. I always had a voice in my head saying, no, you can't because you stutter. And it was then that I really woke up and said, I have to do something about this. And that summer, I went to my first conference of the National Stuttering Association, the NSA. And there I met some contacts who introduced me to an intensive program and experience, and also just met others who stutter. Shortly after I got home, I went through the intensive program offered by the American Institute for Stuttering in New York, and that really woke me up, and it got me completely out of my stuttering shell that I was living in, and I started to actually live my life as I always wished that I could, and learned I kind of had it in me all along.
Wow, isn't that like just a amazing realization to have?
It is. Yes, it is a hard one, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of routine. But once it happens, it's all so worth it.
Mm-hmm. Now, was your experience at AIS, had that been your first therapy experience?
It had for a long time. I had gone to therapy in elementary school and in middle school. And then in high school, I kind of completely shut that part of my life out. Mm. And I didn't do therapy at all then. In college in New York, there were times when I contemplated it because I certainly felt the pressures of stuttering when I was in college, but I did not partake in anything then. So it went from, you know, since I was about 12 years old to 30 years old without any.
Wow. Wow. Where did you go to college in New York? Just curiously.
Sure. I went to the Ashen Institute of Technology.
Oh, cool. Cool. So you had, you've always had like a creative side?
I have, which is why even now in real estate, when it's all about negotiations and contracts, I had to throw in that home staging so that I could still have that side of my life as well.
Yeah. So what exactly is home staging?
So I help my clients make their home look the best that it can before it goes to the market. As buyers can't really see what a home would look like if it's not staged. So by staging, it can be anything from helping them rearrange items that they already own in their home. From, you know, if it's an estate and it's an empty home, I might come in and stage the whole house. And then it helps people see and visualize this, this space and what they could be living in if they bought the home.
Oh, wow, that sounds like fun, actually.
It's a lot of moving stuff around, but it's rewarding at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. So you're probably not doing too much of that right now, moving stuff around, right?
Not a whole lot at the moment. It's my pregnancy has hit a point where I'm showing and I have the belly and all of that. So things are kind of starting to get in the way of moving, but I have helpers that have been helping out a lot. So that's been good.
Oh, good, good, good. So, so you mentioned you went to your first NSA conference when you were 30, so about 3 years ago. Have you been back?
I have. So I have not missed one yet since then. So I went to the first one was in Baltimore, and then I went to Atlanta and Dallas as well. And I will be attending in Chicago next month too.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, it'll be fun seeing you with your beautiful pregnant self.
Yeah, I certainly look a bit different than I did last year.
I'm sure. So you're involved with the NSA now in kind of a leadership capacity, right?
I am, yes. So locally, I lead the, I co-lead the adult chapter here in Minneapolis, and also a group for college students and a group for teenagers. And then on a more national level, I'm a regional chapter coordinator for part of the Midwest region.
And what does that mean? What do you do?
So we support the chapters and the leaders. So helping them get set up, organize meetings, and kind of troubleshoot issues as they come along. We've also been quite involved with the conference. So planning activities for people who stutter, things like that.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, that's great to hear that you're so involved. And wow, you're involved with three different types of chapters locally. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're nice. They are not huge. We are always kind of growing and trying to expand more. But yes, they are always interesting and rewarding to go to.
I don't think I've ever heard of a NSA chapter specific for college students. Where did that come from?
So one of our leaders is an SLP at the university here. I believe she was the one who started it, and it really the kids, I mean, it's weird to call them kids because they're really not kids, but the college students who attended are incredible. They're all extremely smart. We have some going after their PhD PhDs in chemistry and physics, and they're just incredible. And to see them at this point, not let stuttering affect their education so that they can better themselves and the world is so wonderful.
Wow. So how did you get involved with that as an, like, 'cause you said you lead one for adults. So how did you get involved in the college student one?
You know, I don't, half of the stuff, I don't remember exactly how it all happened, but, I think that I was just asked to go and to start helping out. And I find that these experiences are beneficial for me as well, because you get to see people doing really what they should be doing in their lives, what they want to be doing, even at a young age. And it's incredibly inspiring. So I just keep it up.
Wow. That is incredibly inspiring. I am just blown away by how much you're involved in. That's incredible. In just such a short amount of time, in just 3 years, to see all that you've participated in and your leadership. How lucky the NSA is to have you.
Thank you. I'm the type that I kind of jump in with both feet with almost everything I do. And after having my eyes opened, you know, at that NSA conference, I realized, you know, if there's anything that I can do to help anybody else out, that I would be more than happy to. So this is the way that I can give back to the stuttering community.
That's so beautiful. How did you find out about the NSA to begin with?
When I was living in Chicago, I think that I just Googled like stuttering self-help. And this was before there was a chapter in Chicago. And I got in my car and went an hour and a half to a meeting and had my first experience there. So it all just started online and went from there.
Wow. That's, yeah, great. And the rest is history, as they say.
Yes.
Yeah. So, is it okay if we talk a little bit about, your upcoming arrival of your child? Is that okay?
Sure.
So I'm curious, are you worried that she might stutter?
You know, when I first went to the NSA conference, I actually went to your workshop, Pam, and you had us split up. And one of the things that I had asked there was to some mothers that I was with is, how do you manage that? How do you possibly manage the stress of thinking that your child could stutter? Or how do you handle the fact that, you know, maybe you can't fluently count to 10 or say all of your ABCs? And at that point, I was so against having a kid because I thought, how could I possibly bring somebody into this world and not be able to completely communicate with them, or the fear that they would have to live through what I went through, which at the time I thought was possibly the worst thing ever. And so over time, after I met other mothers who stutter, that have said, you know, you're going to have issues with your kid no matter what they are. If you're stuttering or not, it's really the least of your worries. And what a household for her to live in if she does stutter. You know, she will have somebody that completely understands what she's living through, and how to sort of manage all of that in life. So I've sort of opened my eyes to the fact that if she does stutter, we're okay with that. That's just fine. And she can be a little advocate on her own too.
Oh my goodness. What a wonderfully healthy attitude to have. And it seems almost like it's like a 180 degree turn from what you were thinking when you went to that workshop.
Completely. And it was all so eye-opening to see that it really is okay, that it really doesn't negatively affect your relationship with your child. Everybody has their issues. And if stuttering is mine, and if it happens to be hers, you know, we will have each other. So it'll all be okay if that happens to be the scenario.
Oh, that's great. Because I know a lot of parents worried before they became parents. They worry about, you know, especially people who stutter, that are not completely there on their acceptance journey. A lot of people worry about, you know, passing on something, you know, so horrible and painful and all that. And it just seems like the person that gave you that advice that you're going to have issues with your kid no matter what, that's really sound and smart advice. Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, as sort of a life lesson, I've realized now that even if it wasn't stuttering, it would be something else about me that I would have an issue with or not like about myself. So you just kind of have to take what you have and roll with it and do what you can.
Yeah. I think women in particular we're hard on ourselves for our perceived flaws or imperfections. And when we can reach that point where, you know, we don't give a hoot, you know, what other people think, it just gets so much easier, you know, when we can just embrace, you know, who we are and all of who we are and just be the best that we can.
I agree with you.
Yeah. It just makes it so much easier. So it sounds like your daughter is going to have an incredibly strong role model for a mom, somebody who's been on this amazing journey, and it, you know, hopefully if she does stutter, she'll be as okay with it as you are now.
Yes, and she will be sure to learn that at a young age if that is the case. It took a long time for me to hear the words and then actually accept the words that it really is okay to stutter. And if my daughter happens to, she will be hearing that from the beginning.
Do you have a name picked out yet?
We do. So her name will be Violet, which is interesting because it's, I do stutter on it. And, you know, and I kept thinking, should I really pick a name where I stutter Violet can be a hard name to say, you know, if she stutters. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is just one more thing that I'm letting stuttering get in my head about. We like that name. It's perfect. That's her name.
Oh, first of all, that's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
And secondly, like, how great is that? That you're going with what your heart says.
Right. Yeah. The name was something that early on my husband and I were debating, and we had all these other options. And one of the things, you know, was always like, can I say it? Can I yell it if I need to? And then I was asleep one night and I had a dream that my late great grandmother was holding a baby, and she kept saying baby Violet as she was holding her. And I woke up and I said to my husband, what about the name Violet? And my husband has a long last name that starts with a V, and I do not have his last name, but, you know, so we also had to find something that went with his last name, and it sounds beautiful together. So that's what we went with. And he said, I love it. It's great. And then we didn't even have to think about it anymore. It just came to me that evening, and that was that. And we actually even learned that even happened before we knew that it was a girl. And then we learned what her gender would be, and that's her name.
Perfect. And when is Violet expected to hit the world?
She's expected to be here mid-October. So
okay.
Coming up in about 4 months now.
Wow. Wow. Well, I hope you have a wonderful summer. I know
Thank
it can
you.
Be tough to be pregnant during the summer. But that's what air conditioning is for.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And I'm loving it right now.
Yeah. Taylor, one more quick question before we wind down. Are you doing any workshops or leading any activities at the conference in Chicago?
I am, actually. So my husband Adam and I will be on a panel with another couple from the area here. Mm-hmm. And we will be discussing when the other half stutters. So managing relationships and marriage when one person stutters. And I will also be conducting a women's empowerment workshop this year. And then, of course, we'll be involved in the chapter leader lunch and some other activities throughout the conference too.
My goodness, you're going to be busy.
I will be busy. Yeah. And I'm trying to think, I'm like, when did I sign up for all of this stuff? But it'll be great.
What's the women's empowerment going to focus on, if you're okay saying, or is that a surprise?
I think, you know, to kind of sum it up, it'll be kind of realizing who you are and not having to form to the mold of what we're expected to be all the time. I feel as women, especially women who stutter, there are a lot of challenges in life that we face. It's often unexpected to meet an adult woman who stutters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to kind of discuss, you know, how to have some self-confidence with all of it, and how do you handle it all?
That's perfect. I mean, that fits exactly in with this podcast.
Great.
Exactly. Well, I'm really looking forward to that. Now, is that just for women?
Yes, but I suppose if there's a man who needs to be empowered as well, he could always stop into.
I asked that because one of the first times that I led the Women Who Stutter workshops at the NSA conferences, and I think I did them for like five years. Like the second year, we had some men come in, and we're like, I had a couple people helping me out, and I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, you know, like this is for women. Like, can you read, you know? And
right.
They wanted to know what the experience of women who stutter was because they thought it was different, but they weren't sure. So we weren't sure what to do. So there was like 20 guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't expect. So exactly. It's good to know.
So we had them kind of form their own group, you know, because, you know, we had set up a couple of groups of women and talked about stuff. And the guys, you know, formed their own group and talked about stuff. And what came of that is the guys realized, oh my God, we never have a chance as men to just talk amongst men. So the following year, there was a Men Who Stutter workshop, and 120 people went to that workshop.
Wow, yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, that was just totally amazing. So, yeah, be open to that possibility.
Sounds good. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah. And thank you, Taylor, for being a guest today. My goodness, this was just a wonderful conversation. So honest. And I'm so happy that you shared. And I'm confident that your experiences are going to inspire people listening. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Pam. This was great.
Yeah, it was. It was. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.